Item number six is subdivision and rezoning at 582 Jesse Avenue, filed under DASZ 35-2012. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following items will be heard at the same time. Item seven is a variance at 582 Jesse Avenue under file DAV 132314, 2012D.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Good evening, members of the
committee. Good evening, Mr. Steve.
Gordon Steve's appearing now from Darcy and Deacon.
And you're Ron Walter from Studio Walter Incorporated.
Yep. There you go. I'm assisting the applicant in these proceedings there.
Okay.
Good to see everybody again. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I'll speak, obviously, concurrently to both the subdivision and the variance on 582. Mm-hmm. Jesse, so as not to drag you through too much, I'll just combine my comments on those. Generally speaking,
the project... Can you keep it short?
Jeez. I'm Gord Steve. I don't know if you're...
I know it's been a while.
No, I will keep it short, Councilor. Generally speaking, the project is... The project, as we've seen in the neighborhood, and as we've worked with the planning department over the course of the last several months, Michael Robinson is here, obviously offering his support to the committee with respect to any questions you might have. Obviously, this is a project that enjoys report support from administration on both the subdivision and the variance on both of the. Subject heads. As per all of our projects, and I'll say our projects, so the projects of the Walter Group, or whatever term is the proper term to use, they go through the iterations of meeting with the planning department, to meeting with folks in the community, and coming to an end result that, to the larger extent, works for everybody in the community. Obviously, there's going to be there's not always perfect consensus in the area, which is sometimes the way it is, but we strive towards that to the largest extent. I think the relationship is getting a lot better, is the sense that I get, honestly, and my humble opinion is that the projects are much more in keeping with the contemporary style of the neighborhood, and I think, if I may say, much more in keeping with people's expectation of the area, and we'll show you some pictures in due course. Essentially, what we're doing here is we're taking a larger lot on the block and turning it into 25-foot lots and building a duplex on each one of those lots, is essentially what it boils down to. The lot size of 25 feet is going to be, generally speaking, the size for the lots in the neighborhood. If you look at the reports, you'll notice that on this particular block, the majority of the lots are 25-foot lots. Which is the way it is. And on this side, if these lots are subdivided, then congruently, seven of the eight lots in a row are going to be the 25-foot lots. So there's going to be some consanguinity and some uniformity to the block, which we think is is positive. I'll run the risk of misspeaking, but I believe that the variances that are purported to take place for such a report are, relatively speaking, minor in nature, if I could be that bold as to say that. The side yards, I think, instead of the 3 feet or the 2 feet.
It's four instead of, it's three instead of four.
Oh, for the most part, yeah. There you go. Yeah. I knew I'd misspeak. Three instead of four. There, you'll note that there is no side yard noted in the reports, but I want to be clear that these are the inside side yards to the two new duplexes that are being created. So it's going to be a deck structure and a common area that is going to be shared by the folks who are going to live in the in the new premises that are going to be created. So it's going to be that type of communal
courtyard.
That's the word I'm looking for, which we believe is going to be nice and is going to make some sense. In the rear yard, there's a setback variance moving from 25 feet to 18 feet, I think, but that's not the ground level. That has to do with the second level
Second level deck, actually. It's not the habitable space above itself. Yeah. It's just the deck itself, the exterior space.
And pursuant to discussions with the planning department, they've agreed to build some 4 feet of semi-opaque walls to help with privacy and screening and all those sorts of things.
Sorry, where did you say that part was? The semi-opaque?
Yeah, 4 foot semi-opaque screens on the side of the deck.
On the rear.
Public consultations were, as has been developed in the area over the course of the last little bit, flyers distributed to the entire block. obviously,
three dozen or so, I think, went out.
Yeah, obviously, there's no secret now as to where Aaron operates and Daniel operates from. He's very, very well known in the neighborhood. They have good relationships, I think, with folks in the neighborhood. People know where to find them. Public consultation meeting held at the premises of the office of Walter, and not well attended, which we take to mean, and obviously we'll have to see, we take to mean that folks, generally speaking, may have had a certain comfort with the what was being proposed. With respect to the neighbors directly affected, we're going to provide you with letters of support, I believe, from three of the four neighbors who are directly affected. I don't believe we ever did obtain a letter of support from the one neighbor. I'm not sure what or if that person was contacted. I don't know what to say about that. I wouldn't necessarily assume they're opposed to the project, but we don't have that. But three of the four directly affected, I believe, have signed letters of support. Again, I'd emphasize, went through the process with Michael Robinson. I always take time to congratulate and thank Mr. Robinson for his assistance throughout the course of this project and providing us with ideas and plans as to what makes sense and what doesn't make sense, what the committee might see as good as opposed to bad. We've talked about the R. Winnipeg policies that appear in the subdivision report. And of course, as you know, in the area, the R. Winnipeg Complete Communities Direction Strategy does talk specifically about supporting low to moderate change in densities, and that's the idea. And of course, that was a cognizant decision that was made policy-wise by the City of Winnipeg for reasons that make sense, in my respectful opinion, in the community. And I say that not only because I was there helping make those decisions, but because it does make sense. With housing costs and with area charges, it's expensive for folks nowadays, where we have to start looking at different ways. And they specifically mentioned in number three that things such as duplexes, and that's a quote, would be looked at as viable alternatives to the single standalone family residence that exists. And I'm always impressed in the report writing process when they come out and they talk about the urban design components, which are part and parcel spelled out in the report itself. And they talk about the guidelines, 1, 2, 3, 4, and there's components of 4. And they talk about the rear yard setbacks and how this proposed development does comply with the bylaw requirement for a 25-foot rear yard setback, remembering always that there is the variance for the deck above. With the front yard setback, the proposed front yard setback is 20 feet, which complies with the front yard alignment as set out by the zoning bylaw. But there is a porch, which goes just an additional 5 feet. The main building facade is orientated in the proper direction according to the guidelines, and the massing and the height of the new buildings is proper. Both properties will be under the maximum allowable height, and the pitched roof is consistent with the aesthetic of the neighborhood according to the planning department, and the massing of the building is designated as acceptable, and there was some changes made to the side wall along the adjoining properties to break up the facade to provide for a differentiation in depth and space and all those sorts of things that only planners would think of in their wisdom, I would say. So maybe just briefly, I would ask Jan to take us through some of the aspects of the project before doing that. I'd be happy to give you some copies of what the project will look like if I can put my mitts on. Mr. Clerk?
I jumped the gun. I mean,
They already have it?
Okay. Oh, you already got it. Okay. Okay. Sure.
Well, what am I here for?
Well, Gordon, Mr. Steve's actually... Oh, sorry.
Don't be
smart. He outlined most of the points that are really significant to this building, I think, already. Although, what I would like to add is just a little bit of history of this. In these 50-foot projects that we're working on for clients, the feedback we've gotten, both on this project... Oh, back a while in the preliminary stages, because we had some other consultations with neighborhoods, we brought this one up at the time just to get their feedback on it. Consistently has been that the building masses are too big. So the concept then, we've taken the lead from, I believe it was Michael's concept, I'm not sure, it may not have been, but I believe it was to subdivide the lots and work with these as smaller structures that are more consistent with the neighborhood, where we have smaller 25-foot frontages with homes that and facades that really emulate what else is going on in the neighborhood. So it just becomes a repetitive nature. So rather than doing one quadplex, we've done two duplexes in essence, which allows us to break up the facades. And as seen in the rendering there, really bringing forward to the street a very traditional facade with a more contemporary detail in the rear. So offset from the street. We're contemporary architects. We want to see contemporary flair in our buildings. We want to have fun with it. But we do understand that people are opposed to the galvanized steel. They're opposed to these. You know, what is said mostly is obtrusive and spaceships landing on their streets. Well, I don't look at them as spaceships, but nonetheless, we've set the spaceship back. We've parked a traditional facade in front of it, which is what's shown in this drawing here. We've also, we're showing differentiation between the two units. They are similar, but they're broken up by a green, it's almost like a grass wall that's just suspended between the two buildings that's just vines hanging, growing up from it. There's some grass roofs on the front porches just to soften the look from the front. We've removed a lot of the actually front decks. Initially we had front decks that were going to come right to the front. We decided it wasn't necessary at this stage. Let's not push the limits. Let's keep within the dimensional setbacks of the rest of the block. So that being said, we subdivided a lot. We're applying to subdivide a lot. We're applying to create two homes that would be similar to the neighboring homes. These units themselves are duplexes, but they're within the dimensional standards of single-family homes, with the exception of 1 foot side yard difference on the neighboring sides and a 7 foot deck variance in the rear yard. So I mean 18 feet opposed to 25 feet. But the building proper itself is actually 25 feet from the back lane as the dimensional standards lay out. We didn't maximize our height. We were told the buildings were looking too, the feedback was such that the buildings were looking too high. I believe the midpoint of the roof of this building is 30 feet where the dimensional, where it's approved, or the dimensional standards for single family homes in this neighborhood would be 35 feet. So we've kept the building lower. We have pushed it out a foot on the side yards slightly to make up that little space, but we've limited the 2 stories within the building itself. But other than that, and in fact, we actually kept the garages closer or further away from the property lines than were permitted. Typically, the garage could be 2 feet from the side yard. We've gone to 3 feet to keep it consistent. So there was a bit of a give and take with us to make we needed to come up with a certain square footage to make these projects viable for our clients, and I believe we did, and I think we've kept the scale down and keep it consistent with the neighborhood.
Okay, so we'll conclude. I'll just give Dan, do you give copies of the letters of support too? Okay. I'll give those to you, Mr. Clerk. 279 NASA, 585 River Avenue, which is nearby, 589 Jesse Avenue, 578 Jesse Avenue, 604 Jesse Avenue.
I think they check the River Avenue actually is, that's their offices, but they're, it's, yeah.
Oh, 588, yeah. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
582 Jesse.
There we are. We'll sit back and we'll listen to what folks have to say about the project.
I do have a question.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate that this project, again, is the one we approved last time, that you listen to some of the concerns that have been coming forward over the last little while. The massing, like from what I heard from a number of these meetings, is the issue isn't so much a duplex itself, the idea of there being a duplex, but the idea of too much building on the site and an impact on the neighbors. So I appreciate the 30-foot height. I really appreciate. And some of the other things you've talked about. I guess I'm wondering, a concern that's kind of coming together, like when we look at these hearings, we look at one house at a time, and we look at the project in front of us. And looking at this one project by itself in isolation, you know, I don't see a big problem with it. But you've got a street where you've now come forward, I think this is the fourth one on this street, or is it the third or the fourth?
Third, I believe.
There's another one on them.
The one at the corner, and then 589, 604, and then this one's the fourth one.
So the one on the corner, that's the fiveplex on Nassau.
Yes, it is Nassau.
So you've got, this is the fourth project, and I'm aware that there's a fifth coming forward on one city block. So I think this is a concern that's kind of coming to my attention. I realize it's not necessarily specifically about this one application, mm-hmm. but you have to look at the fact that this is an area of stability in our city plan, and you have people living on this street, and you have like 1/6 of their street is going to be a construction zone with all these projects going forward. And I guess I'm a little concerned about that, and I guess I wonder, like, how much more of this are you planning on bringing forward for this community? Because, you know, one project, one duplex going forward is one on a street, but when you've got four, you've got five, you know, people are living here, and it takes a long time to build these things. Like, what is your intention?
There is no specific intention to take over any block or neighborhood or anything of that matter. It just happens that that's the way this turned out. This has been something that's been talked about in our office as of recently. We've decided to not proceed with trying to obtain any more properties on that street for our client. We typically, for our clients, we typically source the properties for them. So we're out there looking for them. Like, we're the full package deal. So we're purchasing the properties for them, or we're helping them purchase the properties at the initial. So you have my word on record here, and my father would back me up as well as my partner, that we will not pursue anything more on this block at this stage. There's no reason to. I say this stage, I mean within the foreseeable future, by any means.
Well, I'm sure that will come as a great relief to some of the residents, because I know there is concern from the residents. I know we're going to hear some of them tonight. In fact, there was a letter of opposition we did receive from the immediate neighbor on one side as well, just for your information, because I know you mentioned you hadn't heard that. So we do have that letter in front of us from the immediate next-door neighbor, which is always quite concerning.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, it's really fairly nightmarish for people living on the street to be living in a construction zone. Mm-hmm. And this is all in 1 year. I mean, this is the fourth, and there's a fifth coming. You know, my heart goes out to these people. And it's a difficult situation here, because what you're bringing forward is clearly within, it's very reasonable in terms of the density and in terms of the massing in this case. You know, not true as much of some of the earlier ones, and I appreciate you come a long way forward in listening on that. So I do appreciate that this fits in with sort of a newer direction. But it's just the compacting so many into this one block. I'm very pleased to hear you say that. I hope that the fifth one that you come forward is not going to be any bigger in terms of massing or anything else than what we've been talking about here. So I don't know. I haven't seen that one yet. So I hope as you consider that you'll be very, very sensitive on that one as well. I haven't seen it yet. So those were some comments I wanted to make, if you don't mind.
So well taken. And feel free to call me on that anytime in the future when I, on the record, I said.
Well, and there's, you know, it's hard for people. Okay, and I know there's other people that want to speak today. So at that point, I don't have any further questions.
Anyone else? Comments. See then, we'll talk to you later. So again, in support, it's your opportunity to speak unless you think that these two have spoken eloquently enough for yourself. By all means, you can come up, though. So Daniel McGibbon.
No comment.
Shawalz, I think. S-H-A-O-L-Z. Okay, good. And Xing Zhang Wang.
Support.
Support? Okay, fair enough. All right, now, anybody else in support of the application that I haven't mentioned?
Support.
If you would like your name to be registered, just when you leave or any time, just go out and fill in one of these forms for us. You don't have to speak?
I filled out the form.
You did. Okay, so you're the probably Jean? Jean?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry for pronouncing it. Okay, perfect. Anybody else?
That gentleman actually has one of the letters of support that was given in. So.
Yeah. Sounds good. Okay, moving on. I see no one else in support. We'll move on to those in opposition. Okay. And in no specific order, Gerard Trinkies, I think it's pronounced. Opposed. If you wish to speak, you may. I'll just call the names, and whoever likes to speak, just stand up and come on forward. John Schell. Come on. Hi, John.
Hi, right I'm ahead. A resident at 588 Jesse, the, I guess, roommate of the guy who sent him the complaint letter there. I don't know a lot of information on how the design's set up. I didn't actually get an invite to the community thing. I was out of town for a while, so it's possible it was something I missed. My biggest concern are the windows on the east side of my house are going to be completely blocked by this, and the main windows for the house were put in, I think, in the mid-'80s with the idea that there was a big yard there. Sorry, I'm a little bit tired.
But, appreciate you coming up.
9 hours of school today. But yeah, I'm really concerned about losing those windows of the main natural light coming into the house. My other concern is with these letters of support. The two addresses that are east of my house are both vacant houses that belong to these guys, and both of those were listed as letters of support. Seems a little bit ridiculous that houses have been vacant for months plus that could be supporting this. I've got, they're all getting torn down. Aside from that, just the community thing, as was spoken by Mr. Bassey here, I don't want to see my neighborhood torn down. I've been living there for 12 years. This is a big change. It's a different type of people moving in. No, that's about it.
Okay.
Can I just, yeah. just ask you, where are the windows exactly on your house?
They're all on the east side of the window. We've got two big windows on the top side. I think east. Yeah. Two top big windows on the top, and we've got a big window on the bottom. Okay. There's a tree kind of cover on the one window, but there's technically a third on the top, but we sealed that off from the inside, so there's nothing.
Not the very top, but the other floors. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know. I can. Kale? Kate?
Sorry, yes.
Who are you? Oh, hey, Kel. There we are.
It's not that hard of a name.
No, it just needs a hard, I think it needs a harder surface to write on. Yeah.
I have terrible printing, and the table was textured. I'm sorry.
Spell check. No worries. Go ahead.
Thanks.
Sorry about that.
I'm also a resident of 588. I believe I was the one that wrote in this afternoon. I wasn't sure if I was going to make it, but I was. So
thanks,
Kelly.
By all means, stand still.
Okay. Just to reiterate, as my upstairs neighbor had indicated, I don't actually remember receiving any notification regarding this prior to the variance posting going up. I didn't hear about any community meetings. I still haven't actually seen the actual plan, so I can't really speak to it. But as he mentioned, the primary source of natural light in my residence is on the east side with a 6 or 8 foot window in the front room. There are two windows on the other side of the house, which are one is in the kitchen and one's for an air conditioner. So a building 30 feet high directly, 3 feet from my windows is going to effectively eliminate natural light in my house. That's about it.
Would you, if there was an opportunity to sit down with the developer and go over the plans and discuss your concerns, would that be of some comfort to you? Would that be something you would value and you would take the time to do?
I would value it. I would I'd make every attempt. I do work shift work at night, as I indicated in the email. So I am somewhat difficult to arrange around, but I would make an effort. And, I'd appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. Okay. I have Patricia Holbrow. Yes, Patricia. In opposition? Okay, thank you. Riley Barkman and Cheryl Hopps, I think.
I'm Riley Barkman.
Hi, Riley. Come on up.
My name is Riley Barkman. I live at 573 Jesse Avenue and have been since for a number of years, since over 30. We are here again. I think I've spoken at every one of these developments that have come along, and The facts of the matter haven't changed. Regardless of what goes into these documents, in my heart, I just don't believe I'm so stupid that this really follows Plan Winnipeg. When it talks about matching built form, scale, size, you know, and what existing structures, what is the existing built form? These new buildings, and nothing wrong with new buildings, but they don't match the community. And they don't match the existing homes. Now, they make some changes to it on the front side. This is true, which is good. But it's the backside. It's the massing. And when you have the setback on the block is 50 feet. That is the standard setback from back lane to home in that block. What you have is you have a 25-foot front, 25-foot front yard. You have a 40-50 home or 50-foot building footprint going down the lot. Then you have a 25-foot open space, and then the garage sits next to the lane. Very standard kind of construction at its time. So what happens is when you sit in the now 75 feet removed from the front yard, there is an open space. And if you stand in that open space, you can see all the way down the street. Light comes in there. Wind comes in there. Now we say, okay, that's okay. We'll just move this now. Instead of 50-foot setback, let's have a 25-foot setback. So what that does is this new building now blocks off the flow from that 25-foot open space that all the other homes in the block have. And it just affects light movement. In fact, it's mentioned in here about the principal reason for the rear yard setback is to allow for privacy and sunlight penetration to the rear of properties. And in this district, in this block, that means not 25 feet from the back lane, it means 50 feet from the back lane. So that again is a point I've made before and I will make it again. These designs here does not satisfy Plan Winnipeg in matching build form. I am very happy to see Councillor Gervasi saying maybe we've seen enough here. This now, in an area of stability, with the approval of this subdivision and construction, will be 15 condos being built on our block. 15. And there's one other property that hasn't been introduced yet, which will be who knows what. We're in an area of stability, supposedly, here. It's the number one thing that's mentioned. How can that be an area of stability if you have construction happening in half the block? It just does not match. The circuitous argument of having a 50-foot lot of your own and saying, okay, the city says that I need that size to build a duplex. No, I want to divide it in half, right? So now I have two 25-foot lots. Oh, but I want them to be R2s. And it'd be injurious to say that I can't build an R2. You know, I need 5,000 square feet. Oh, no, now I only have 3,000. So it's going to be injurious to me if I can't do it, if I can't have all these variances. And I think it's a major variance when you say that the requirement for an R2 designation goes from 5,000 square feet to 3,000. That's not minor. That is a major change. And as far as all of these approvals, this is not a one-off, as the councillor mentioned. This is a developer and I don't know where he gets his investment money, but that's fine. but last summer, he made an effort to purchase every house on that block. He had somebody go up and down that whole block trying to buy the properties. And he succeeded in six, seven, however many cases. And one by one, he's brought them forward to change an R1 residential area into an R2 luxury condo area on 25-foot lots. To me, that is, it's subverting the city process. Anyway, I think that's all I have to say on this matter.
Thank you very much.
That was the rest of your questions?
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Hi, come on up. You've seen this space before. And I tell you, this space is tired of me. Yeah. Gotcha. My name is Cheryl Hobbs. I live at 573 Jesse Avenue. I've lived here since 1979 in this same block, and I live across from 582 Jesse. First of all, I also did not receive any flyers. There were no flyers. I'm sorry. I've gotten all the other flyers. There was no flyers. There was no posting for any consultation. I probably wouldn't have gone anyway because they don't listen to me, but that's the case. Secondly, just as a comment, I'd be interested in knowing the numbers of these adjacent houses, because 269 Nassau is owned by Mr. Walter and is to be developed into a 5-condo, and it is not next door to this house. There are two houses next door to this. One is 578 Jesse, which is owned by Mr. Walter's guys and is up for development next, probably in March. And the other one is 588, and you've seen two individuals from that who are not. So I don't know who these people are that are neighbors that have written in favor, but they aren't truly neighbors, okay? I live across the street. I'm opposed to the proposed subdivision and variances for 582 Jesse Avenue and to rezoning the property if it means that the guidelines for mature and stable communities in our Plan Winnipeg, the Complete Communities Direction Strategy, which has been referred to by Mr. Steves, and the infill development guidelines for multiple family developments in low-density neighborhoods will be again ignored, as with the previous developments on this block. The planning department continues to say that these guidelines are being followed, which is untrue. In all respects, untrue, except for the intensification clause, which Mr. Steves mentioned. In private conversation, Mr. Robinson indicates that the bylaws take precedence over the guidelines. However, our Plan Winnipeg and the Complete Communities Direction Strategy took effect on August 17, 2011, whereas the bylaws were in 2007, as the official development plan guiding growth and change for this city. These are not ancient documents and are valid, as they've been referred to by Mr. Steves, valid guidelines to be used for development in this city. They present a 25-year vision for the entire city. Indeed, when necessary to justify some of the variances he is recommending, Mr. Robinson himself uses complete communities and our community norms, but disregards them when it doesn't suit the developer, in my opinion. The planning department says it wants this area to be converted to duplexes and uses the presence of 5 duplexes in this block as further justification, which you can read in his assessment. It does not, however, mention that all of the present duplexes are built to a footprint consistent with the neighborhood, 50-foot rear setbacks, 20-foot front setbacks. Community norms are only used to justify what the developer wants, not what the community wants, and not what the guidelines prescribe. My fears have finally come true. The planning department is now, in this application, using this committee's approvals of all the previous applications by this developer as justification for building more. First time that's happened, we've been waiting for the axe to fall. We've been dealing with these developments on my block now for 6 months, and I can tell you that it has been frustrating and discouraging to spend a great deal of time figuring out the process here, understanding the guidelines and bylaws that apply, only to find that they are being selectively ignored to allow this developer to build his destructive buildings. Indeed, it seems that the residents are supposed to be grateful that these developments could be worse and have been worse in the past.
I am not grateful if the guidelines and regulations are ignored to allow him to do this. My main concern about this application are twofold. Firstly, the unacceptable rear yard massing. As Riley has said, Mr. Robinson again quotes Bylaw 200, 2006, regulation of a rear yard setback of 25 feet, which applies to the city in general, whether it's downtown, new developments, or our mature, stable community. However, our plan Winnipeg, the complete communities, and the infill development guidelines have clauses that specifically deal with special areas of the city, like our mature, stable, low-density neighborhood. These guidelines do not support using the 25-foot bylaw in our community and would indicate that the rear yard setback should actually be 50 feet. They say it specifically. For example, under the section dealing with mature and stable communities, our Plan Winnipeg mandates, and I quote, when new development occurs in areas of stability, intensification should be accommodated when existing within existing communities in a sensitive manner which recognizes the existing form and character of the location. The existing form is a very telling word. As well, the complete community direction strategy does, as Mr. Steves mentioned, support low to moderate change in low density neighborhoods through redevelopment and development, which should be, and I quote, complementary to the existing scale, character, and built form of the community. Mr. Robinson has not defined what existing scale and built form means to me, but I would think that it's clear that the footprint of buildings in the neighborhood should be used to determine the footprint of the new development. Again, a 50-foot rear yard setback would correspond to the built form of this neighborhood. Finally, the infill development guideline for multiple family developments in low-density neighborhoods says that you should, and I quote, establish rear yard setbacks that are consistent with the pattern of the neighborhood. Again, a 50-foot rear yard setback is the norm on this block. Thus, in terms of the rear yard setback, the intent of these guidelines is extremely clear. I don't think that there is anything debatable about that. Secondly, and Riley talked about this, the subdivision of a perfectly good 6,000 square foot, 50-foot lot into 25-foot lots so that he can be allowed to stuff four condos onto the 50-foot lot instead of just building a duplex on the 50-foot lot. If he built a duplex on the 50-foot lot, it would not have to be massed to the rear. It would not have to be built right to the edges and obstruct the windows of the people next door. He wouldn't get his four lots, but is that the city's job to give him his four condos? I don't think so. These are major variances, and they should not be allowed. Again, with this, the bylaw, which Mr. Robinson says should take precedence, says that it should be a 5,000 square foot lot. But then Mr. Robinson uses complete communities and the same clause that Mr. Steve said about you're supposed to allow some intensification, et cetera, to say that it's okay, that it's justified. Again, the planning department is picking what fits the developer's interest, not what fits the community's interest. He is using complete communities as well. We should be able to use complete communities for the rear setback. The planning department says there are criteria that have to be met. One is that it has to be consistent with Plan Winnipeg. This obviously does not. The other is that it should fit with any applicable secondary plan. Well, we know that Mr. Walter was instrumental in getting the secondary plan canceled, and he's now using the supposed void in that to build all these egregious developments in our neighborhood, and he should not be allowed to do that. Besides the fact that I think there are enough existing guidelines for you guys to stop this rear massing. The front, it's okay. I have concerns for the neighbors whose light is going to be obstructed. And it should not create substantial adverse effect on the adjoining property and adjacent areas. We've heard already it's going to do that because of the rear yard massing, but also because it's being pushed to the side. The lot that's there has actually a 20-foot 5-foot yard beside the house that's there. As we know, we also know that the planning department realizes that this rear yard massing is obstructive and negative in for the adjacent properties. Only in the analysis for the project of 269 Nassau Street did Mr. Robinson state in his report to you, and quotes, the rear yard setback proposed will not compromise light penetration and privacy for the adjacent properties. And that is true for 269 Nassau. It is not true for any of the other ones, and he did not say it for any of the other ones. The omission of that statement, to me, speaks volumes. These are obstructive to the adjacent property. I am not against intensification. If you build a duplex on a single-family lot, it's intensification. It's minor, mild, whatever you want to call it, but that's okay. And I'm not opposed to new development or anything else, but I think that they should be done in this community in a healthy, balanced, and respectful way to maintain the diversity, vibrancy, and health of this community. We are, as we've said, not talking about one development. This is now the fifth and sixth condos, and there will be more. Mr. Robinson acknowledges that the planning department is impacted at present by a very pro-developer council, I understand that, and that it operates under the guidance and control of our elected officials. That's you guys. So your job is to apply the rules, the guidelines, the regulations to help our community also, because we are also investors in this community, and we live here, and some of us have lived here for a very long time. So, furthermore, since we don't have a secondary plan, but a plan is pending, I feel the best solution would be to stop any further rezoning and variances in this area until the secondary plan has been brought into effect. This would do two things. Firstly, Mr. Walter already has 11 condo units to build on my block, so he's got lots of stuff to do. He can wait. Secondly, it would give him time to complete 666 and 668 Jesse Avenue. 668 Jesse Avenue received approval from this committee in February of 2006. It is still not completed. It has not been assessed by the assessment department for taxation purposes because it still has outstanding building permits on it. And it is still not fully occupied. Mr. Walter lives in one unit. Somebody lives part-time in a second unit. And the third unit is not occupied. 666 is still not completed, and it still has for sale signs up. One family or somebody is living in one of the units. So he could finish those. He's got lots of time now, right? Secondly, it would encourage the court and biz to participate in good faith to complete the secondary plan. And that's what everybody says we need. So let's do that. I think the choices are clear. If you approve yet another one of these developments in this 28-lot block, you are saying clearly that you believe this development is good for this neighborhood and follows the rules. If you do not believe that, then you should reject this application. Please do that.
Any questions?
No, I think you've spoken very clearly. Thank you.
Thank you. In opposition, I have Rodrigo and Rhonda. Good to speak. If you wish to speak, you can speak. If not, we're okay. Seeing no action. Well, just anybody else whose name I haven't called in opposition? Going once, going twice. All right, we will call the applicant back up.
Listened to the concerns of folks, and as always, thank them for their comments. I know this is difficult, and do note specifically that, it is a busy area, and that is to be noted, and that's a fair comment. And it's a reality, I suppose, that is probably being played out in different spots across the country in areas that are desirable. I was disheartened by the first two gentlemen who spoke. Sorry, I don't recall their names, but they live in a duplex next door, I understand, as neighbors in the same building. And that is, I think, to a large extent, the reality of this neighborhood and the transitioning reality. And I think throughout the course of the very articulate comments that were made by folks in the neighborhood, you saw maybe a microcosm of that changing reality and that shifting reality in neighborhoods that is going on not only in Corydon, I can assure you, but in many different and desirable parts of this city. The delegations who spoke later in their submissions talked about how they raised their families, and that was their reality, that was what they were used to, and what a wonderful history and what a wonderful thing that is for the neighborhood. And then, of course, it was preceded by gentlemen who live in the neighborhood who are coming from a completely different reality but love the neighborhood just as much. What do we do about that? How do you evolve and steward that transition in an orderly way? And that is what we are trying to do, and it is tough. It is very, very difficult. Because the challenge of the sort of the traditional single-family dwelling on a single 50-foot lot is, again, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, likely not the reality for most of this city. It's just not being done that way anymore. It's very, very different. Families are very, very different than what they have been historically. It just looks different. The planner's report speaks to that. The policy decisions made by council speak to that. The community direction strategy speaks to that. These are cognizant, considered decisions of the Council of the City of Winnipeg to attempt to recognize this reality. It was an award-winning process that took into account all of the inputs of its citizenry that said, and then at the end of the day, crystallized the entire process into the documents that we're now guided by and that our planning department now has the responsibility for putting in place. Considering these buildings, to me, and this is a subjective opinion, nothing to do with objective law or anything like that, but they will look like a newer version of what exists in the grander neighborhood. The gentleman talked about the concerns he had about the sunlight, and this building is coming back for plan approval. We all understand that, and those types of concerns where issues can be discussed, obviously, at that stage, but this building is not maximum height. The principal building itself comes back the full required setback. It is only for the purposes of a deck that a variance is being requested. It's not a situation where this is going to be a circumstance where we're asking for a principal residence to be outside of a varied area. It's not that type of circumstance. Your planners are out there, and Mr. Robinson is out there trying to strike that proper balance. In our respectful opinion, this report strikes that proper balance, and we're all familiar with the earlier stages in 2012 when we came here with different ideas and reports that were non-favorable, things we had to pull off the agenda because we decided, I was just recently on the scene and decided that we're not going to try to push through things that don't match up with positive reports in hopes that politically we're going to somehow gain that support. That's not what we're doing in the neighborhood. That may have been what happened in days of yore, but that doesn't happen anymore. We work with the planning department to make sure that what we're doing fits in their professional estimation. That's what's done here. There were concerns about the subjective appearance of the building and the buildings that were built historically in the area. We've all heard those concerns. I really don't hear any of those types of concerns anymore with respect to the way the building looks. There's some. There's some concerns with setbacks. There's some concerns, but it's not the same anymore, I don't think. And if you look at the buildings, they're very presentable, and I would suggest very, very nice-looking buildings in a new neighborhood. And the change in the evolution of neighborhood is not easy, and it's never going to be easy. It's not easy here. It's not easy in Calgary. It's not easy in Toronto. It's not easy in Vancouver. It's not going to be easy anywhere. But we think this works in this area. And we have the added comfort, and I'm pleased that Mr. Walter is here to speak about the acknowledgement of the amount of work that's going on in the neighborhood. And we're pleased that he can offer his assurance as to where this neighborhood is going in terms of work and the limits that he professionally is putting on it. Obviously, if that outreach was ever broken, it would have to go through this committee who would remember those comments. And we would submit that as a good faith olive branch in the neighborhood, which recognizes those, I would submit, very legitimate concerns that have been expressed by folks in the neighborhood. So those legitimate concerns we're hoping balanced off by work that is going to fit and does hopefully work towards the positive and proper evolution in a very desirable way.
Thank you. Councilor Smith?
You know, Gord, when I look at these buildings, I think they're attractive. They appeal to me. But then I think of the other projects on the block. You know, it seems to me that the developer is taking over the whole block. And that disturbs me. Does it not concern you as well? I've never seen this before.
It would concern me if I didn't think the product was nice. I mean, let's face it. At some stage, every building is going to be replaced. At some stage. I don't know when that is, and it might be a very long time. But if you look at neighborhoods in distress, which this neighborhood is not, but if you look at neighborhoods in distress, I would respectfully suggest that they are neighborhoods that have not proactively looked at replacement of stock in a way that matches with the neighborhood. Now, obviously, there were folks that made comments that in their estimation they don't feel that it matches, and I respect that. But the hard and proper work, I would respectfully suggest, for evolution and planning a neighborhood is to take buildings and replace stock responsibly and in a nice way. There is going to be work that's being done. And when you're talking about sort of whatever the number was, 11 to 15 condos, that's seven buildings, I guess. Well,
five buildings.
That's five of the 30 buildings, or whatever the number is, but it's pretty close to that. I don't think that's overwhelming, but again, that's a matter for opinion. And again, we have the comfort of having the developer right here saying, we understand there's limits, and we do.
Okay, one of the things I have to say in listening to everything in this hearing is I'm a little disappointed with what I heard back regarding the public consultation. I mean, clearly, you know, I wouldn't assume people are happy, and that's why they didn't show up to the meeting. We had people saying they didn't receive the flyers. You know, I've been to these hearings for a long time, and when I hear those things, I'm concerned. An effort may well have been made. But obviously it wasn't very effective. When you have the next-door neighbor showing up, both of the tenants next door, or the people next door, coming and saying they oppose the development next door. The last hearing we had at 604, we had the neighbor immediately affected in support. We do not have that. We do not have a lot of support here, and I also feel a little bit concerned to see these addresses that are obviously addresses Walter Company owns. Unless you can correct that.
I have to speak to that.
I'd like you to correct that if that's not the case.
Walter, Studio Walter Incorporated is not the developer of any of these projects. We are the architects.
Okay.
Our clients come to us and they say, you've been successful in the neighborhood. Can you do a project for us?
Okay.
Not a single one of those properties is in my name or connected to, like, is in my company's name or any of our company's
name. That's fair comment. And I understand. Like, so, I mean, I don't think it's fair to accuse you of something like that. I appreciate that clarification, but it does, you know, you would imagine that the people who had purchased a property from
that was, you were, guys were the architect, they might have a bit of a different attitude than some of the other residents, but if fair enough.
And I must say, the fact that the real estate agent, we said to him, find us properties on Jesse. Like, we said that on behalf of our, we have clients who want properties on Jesse, find properties on Jesse.
No, I
but we are not the developers, per se. We're maybe developing consultants, possibly?
Well, I'm not here to look at who the developer is. I know people bring up those issues. You know, we make a decision based on land use, based on the impact on the community. And I've earlier expressed my concern about the impact of the community and just in terms of the sheer number of projects, just as one aspect of that. And Councillor Smith has commented on that. The other issue that I heard pretty loud and clear from people here, and we've been hearing with a lot of these projects, is the massing. And I appreciate looking at this. The front yard looks good, but we have this issue with the backyard. I guess I'm just wondering, we heard about windows. I guess I just wonder, is there something that could be altered in this to deal with that as well? Because really, I don't think the issue for residents is that it's a duplex. The issue is that it affects their views from their houses, and it affects how the neighborhood looks. And I also agree that it is a fairly significant variance. 5,000 to 3,000 is not nothing. And I know we've approved some of these before. The last time we had support of the neighbor immediately affected, he's the one whose view was affected. Today we don't have that support. So I guess I'm asking you, is there anything that can be done with what's in front of us if you were given a little more time? I think there should be discussions with the neighbors immediately. They do not express that they didn't feel they had that opportunity.
Well, I can attest that the two gentlemen who did hand out the flyers are present in the room tonight, but that's irrelevant.
Well,
but
sometimes people miss a flyer. Yeah. I'm not accusing anyone, but if it didn't happen, it didn't happen. Not to blame anyone for that, but it may not have happened, or it may not have been effective, whatever. Whatever anyone's intentions. And I know the intentions may well have been to talk to everyone. They didn't respond, whatever. But the point is, those discussions didn't happen. We have the people right next door not happy, in opposition. We have a number of people on the block, and frankly, I hadn't really thought of it. You get one project at a time, then the next month there's another and another. I've never seen anything like this in my 14 years here, and if it was my block that I live on, I'd be freaking out. And, I have to be sensitive to the people I represent. So I guess what I'm saying is the only issue, or really aside from this bigger issue, which we can't deal with one hearing and say, you've come this far and now we're just going to stop. I don't know that we could do that if there was a reason enough. But I guess what I'm saying is, what I would like to do at the very least is take a little more time on this, talk to the residents, and come back with something that addresses the concerns that have been in front of us today. Because honestly, the backyard thing is still an issue. Everything else seems to be addressed. A lot of things have been addressed. Like as I mentioned, I appreciate the 30-foot height. I appreciate the front yards looking a lot better. There's been a lot of improvements to what we were seeing in the past, with some of the other projects from a few years back and so on. So that's where I'm going with this.
Well, I appreciate your comments 100%. There's no reason why we can't work with the neighbor the same way we worked with the neighbor at 604. I see no problem with working with the direct neighbor that same way on this project. It's a very similar project in terms of its massing and everything, in terms of the concept of the two duplexes as well.
Yeah.
So we can engage the neighbor on that, and we can make arrangements this evening to sit down in the near future.
And I don't want to take away from the fact that you've modified your projects quite a bit, but I'm just asking for a little bit more in terms of this massing issue, because it's obviously still a big issue. We have people in tears. We have people really, really upset for the last 6 months. I'm in a position, people talked earlier about the politics here. I said no to one of your projects, and it was overturned at other committees. I'm trying to work with you before we get to that stage so that it won't be anymore, and I know it's unfortunate that all I can do is to protect people, is to make sure it's less damaging for them, if that's how they feel. And believe me, it's damaging to me what I've had to do so far to support you. So in things that I felt were acceptable. But I'm just saying it's getting to a breaking point here, it's getting to a tipping point here, and I appreciate your comments about it's going to stop on this block, but we're not there yet. So that's my comments today, and I hope you understand that.
I do. I do understand that.
All right. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Yeah.
See you then. Thank you very much. All right. Can we have a motion?
Yes. Let me just open this up here.
Subdivision.
I move that the receipt of public representation, the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken.
There was a revised report that was, was submitted, so be confirmed.
Oh, actually, what I would like to do, actually, I just realized is I want to adjourn this until I want to lay this over until the next meeting without making a decision.
All right.
And give an opportunity for further discussion. So I'm leaving public representations open so that people will be able to speak at the subsequent hearing next month.
Okay. All in favor?
Pardon me? I think they heard loud and clear what is being asked, just that we adjourn this. I think everybody present understood what I was asking.
Okay.
So we'll both the rezoning and the variance, we would adjourn until next month.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.